Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve off-court problems. They'll talk about the latest news in college and professional basketball with coaches like Jim Boeheim, former players like Stephanie White, basketball analysts like Grant Hill, and more. Revealing insights that made them into the leaders they are today. And don't miss President Obama, sharing how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism.
All right, welcome in another episode of the Goodman and Hummel podcast. I'm Jeff Goodman. He's all dressed up.
I had to work today.
Look at you. I mean, I don't think I've seen you this dressed, well, at games. But other than that, for the pod, never.
Sweatpants, hat, sweatshirt.
Yeah. You look like shit, usually.
I do. This is the nicest I've presented myself for this stupid podcast.
What's going on? Everything else good? I heard you got a tough schedule coming up.
I do. It will challenge me. Hopefully the weather is good.
What are you going to challenge me?
I'll be tired is what I'm saying.
Oh, my God.
The worst is the early travel. That is what I'm the most concerned about. The other stuff is fine. You're calling a basketball game, but the travel stinks.
I have a tough stretch, too.
Shut up. No, you don't. Sitting on your ass watching games is not a tough stretch. I don't feel bad for you.
You know what my stretch is during the NCAA tournament? You ready for this?
But what do you, okay, you do you write articles?
Sometimes.
Barely.
I do a show every day with Gottlieb. Every day.
Yeah, for 30 minutes.
Do another show tonight for 2 hours on Sirius.
All right, that's a grind. That's a grind.
10 to 12. 10 to 12. You're going to be asleep by then.
No, I'll be on a plane.
All right. You'll be on a plane. Here's my schedule. I've gotten smart over the years. Orlando, first and second round.
Nice.
Vegas.
I knew it.
Over New York.
And then Houston.
And I might go to the McDonald's game.
Oh, where's it at?
In Houston.
Tuesday. Cool. Nice.
So I'd fly in on Wednesday instead, fly in Tuesday, catch it. You know, it's nothing great, but
yeah.
It's always helpful.
You guys play. Yeah. I found out I'm gonna be in Des Moines and then I will be in Kansas City.
So. My favorite Des Moines story. Was a few years ago. So we were there. It was me and a couple other writers after the game. After, I think, Duke had lost that day. And we're at a bar restaurant right across the street from the arena. And I'm watching the Kentucky-Kansas State game. It's on the big screen in front of us. And Marvin Bagley's dad is sitting at a table about 10 feet, 15 feet over. And I've known him. I've known him for years.
In Des Moines,
because Duke had just lost.
Oh, they were in Des Moines as well.
Correct.
Okay. I got you.
We're watching the game on TV in this bar. Duke had just lost. And he picked Duke over Kentucky, I believe, was one of his finalists. Kansas State ends up beating Kentucky at that point. Remember to go to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, with Dean Wade and those guys.
Bagley goes bananas when Kentucky loses, starts running up and down the restaurant, the bar. And I'm like, I don't think he ever saw me, but I'm like, man, this would have been great to have on video.
Why did he care? So he just, the bad blood of the recruitment?
Yeah. He must have hated Kentucky. I don't know, but he was so happy.
But his son was heavily considering the school.
Yeah it was really weird.
That is very bizarre.
And again, weird that he didn't see me. I was like 10 feet away the whole night, you know, like I ate a full meal, watched the game. I'm right there. And so anyway. All right, let's get down to it. A lot in the Big Ten. This is going to be a Big Ten heavy pod, which makes sense.
Crazy weekend in college hoops, first of all. Insane week. The games were unbelievable.
What? I mean, buzzer beaters. You've got
comebacks.
Comebacks, crazy comebacks.
Yep.
You had teams winning now that have kind of, you know.
Well, bubble games, too. I mean, Carolina, massive bubble games, yes. Right.
Carolina winning, Kentucky winning again. They're not in the bubble anymore. But I think the story of the day, Rob, was this. This was the story of the day.
The Hawkeyes.
I'm just going to give you the stare down. Are you intimidated? Are you intimidated when I give you
this? No, there's nothing you could do that would intimidate nothing? Me.
Zero?
No.
Like even if I put on my Fran face?
No.
What is the Fran face?
I don't even know. I'm not
I don't
sure.
know either.
But it was.
Have you ever seen anything like that? Ever?
No, I've never have. I mean, not even at like the AU or high school level. I've never seen it. Although, you know what? I have seen Fran McCaffrey stare down the ref. He did it against Wisconsin from like 60 feet.
Me too.
Where he was given the stare down. So we were, me and Kevin Brown, and I really enjoy working with Kevin. He does
Kevin's
a great
awesome.
Job.
He's awesome.
Yes. We were kind of in screw around blowout mode, you know? Like the game seemed over. It was an 11-point game with a minute 30 to go. And I actually saw an edit of it where, because I made the comment in the game that it was like an old Wild West showdown. And they put like the music to it with the Western music. But the funniest part, and I don't know how Kelly Pfeiffer didn't start laughing, because I would have started laughing if somebody was looking at me like that, is when Fran took two steps to him and then Kelly took two steps back.
It's so good.
I think it's the so funniest good. Thing ever. And the photos of the standoff are hilarious. And the fact that they came back and won is incredible. We interviewed Peyton Sanford after the game, who hit the shot to send it to overtime. And Kevin asked him the question, did you see your coach staring down the ref? He goes, yeah, we were in the huddle and we were thinking like, what play are we going to run? And then we looked out and coach was just staring the ref down, which is an amazing quote.
But they probably weren't even, that's the one thing with Fran, you don't even really think twice that much about
it. Well, Tony Perkins kind of grabbed him and was like trying to get him to come back to the huddle. And then one of their assistants finally went and got him. But you can't make that part up. And then the way they got hot and Michigan State missed a couple blockouts.
How did you guys not interview Fran? How did you not interview Fran after that?
I don't think it was offered, and it wasn't a live interview. You know, how ESPN sets up those 2-hour windows on a Saturday and they rattle them off.
Stay with you guys.
We had already gypped Baylor and whoever Baylor was playing Texas. 10 minutes into the first half. So I get it. They're trying to get to that game.
Yeah.
And that was one of those games where I'm sure the fans of the Texas Baylor game were thinking, why are they falling? The game's over. But that's the 1% where you're doing it and it works. But the way Iowa got hot, I mean, they make 5 threes in the last 20 or minute 30 of the game. Michigan State only missed one foul shot, but they did turn it over. They did miss a couple blockouts, a couple weird plays where it's like they should have gotten the ball and it would have ended the game and they don't. And Iowa takes advantage. And then in overtime, Iowa's got every bit of momentum. And Tony Perkins had some huge offensive rebound putbacks, which he's the smallest guy on the floor. The crazy thing, though, for Michigan State is that they played so well offensively for their five best guys.
Right.
They were 11 of 13 from three in regulation. That is, I mean, that's 80-something percent, 82%. But Malik Hall played well. Tyson Walker was great again. Hauser played well. Hogard played pretty well. He missed the free throw, but got to the line, I think, 12 times or 13 times.
Am I crazy to say?
And Jaden Hickens played really well too.
I tweeted it, and then the collapse happened. So everybody was like, send it to freezing cold takes or whatever.
I hope they did.
They tried, but here's the deal. I still feel like I feel much better about Michigan State today than I have at any point during the season. Am I crazy saying that? They just blew an 11-point lead with a minute left, and I feel it. I'm telling you, I might take them to go to the Elite Eight. Depending on who they play.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
They got good guards, Rob.
They do.
Guards.
They have good guards. But A.J. Hogard is all over the place. I do not trust him.
He doesn't have to be great.
But he has to be pretty good. You can't say – yes, he does. They have no bench. They have zero bench. Jackson Kohler.
Yeah, that's about it right now. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and I guess Malik Hall, but I consider him more of like a starter. But he's coming up. So it's those – Malik Hall is their only guy off the bench.
They're going to have to play. They're going to have to play those five guys 30-plus minutes. But
yeah, but why are you – they beat Indiana. Indiana's been abysmal on the road except for the Purdue game in the last month, I would say, and the Illinois game. Illinois and Purdue are the two games they played well.
They got experience.
Lost to Michigan at Michigan by 12.
In an emotional game.
Yes, agreed. I don't know. I think they're okay. I think a lot of the Big Ten teams are.
Okay. They're okay. And they have Tom Izzo. Now, Tom Izzo just blew an 11-point lead. But he's a Hall of Famer. He's still one of the best coaches in America. And he's got good experienced guards. He's got shooters. He's got a lineup that, yes, you would look at and say, like I don't care about Matty Sissoko so much. In certain games, you're going to need him. But to me, play Hauser at the five.
Yeah, and they will. And they in certain, like the Iowa game, they could.
That's what I'm saying.
They can in certain opportunities. I don't know. I wouldn't pick them to go to the Elite Eight, I don't think.
I mean, again,
they go through lulls offensively. I know they just scored 106 points. But they do have times where they can't score.
I don't know. I keep going back to it of the talent disparity is so small with all these teams, Big Ten or not. And I'm going to go with coaches. At the end of the day, I'm going to say, like, which coaches do I trust come March? And it's not like Izzo's got a bunch of freshmen. Jaden Akins was good in that game, Rob.
Let me ask you this, though, Jeff. Right now, Michigan State is 17-11. They have a lot of Quavo wins, so I think I know the answer to this. They have eight.
Yep.
But if they lose at Nebraska, which that's going to be a dogfight, and they've got Ohio State, who I don't think any coach in the conference wants to play right now.
Not now.
Because they are as talented as most of the teams.
True.
And they just put it on Illinois.
Yep.
If they lose out and they lose three in a row,
they're not going to lose three.
They're not going to not make the tournament, but boy, they would be.
They could be like a, they could be in, you know, a 12 seed, 11 seed, something easily. Like that. Yeah. I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to bounce back from this one and win their next one. But
they did play really well. I will say that.
For 39 minutes.
Yeah.
They had it.
38 and a half minutes.
On the road. I mean, that was an impressive performance.
No, it was, because Iowa's lights up at home.
And it's honestly not even like some of those shots were ridiculous that Iowa made at the end, too.
They made some tough ones.
They did. All right. So what would you have done if you were Kelly Pfeiffer, getting back to this? I would have done one of two things. I would have went right up nose to nose with them. Like literally nose to nose. Right. Or I would have tossed them.
I'm surprised he didn't toss them.
You know why he didn't?
Well, why?
Because Kelly Pfeiffer doesn't have a million big leagues. So he can't afford to not be able to work Iowa games right now.
Yeah.
He can't toss him. And then basically Fran say, you know what? I don't want Kelly Pfeiffer on any more of my game. He doesn't have the leverage that some of these other big time officials have.
No, I can see it reminded me of the clip on YouTube where Rasheed Wallace was staring that ref down and they have the ref mic'd and he's like, whack, get out, and throws him out. And Steve Smith runs up and is like, you didn't even say anything. And he's like, he's intimidating me. I told him to stop looking at me. What it reminded me of.
Yeah.
I honestly am surprised he didn't get tossed. But I think that Kelly also in the back of his mind was like, Big Ten refs just tossed this dude a week ago at Northwestern. Yeah. I've already teched him tonight. He's technically not saying anything, but he is staring me
down.
What
did he tech him for the first time? Do you remember?
Fran was upset. I think I was listening to his presser after the game. He said he was upset with a different ref. But he was just on him about this call, and he'd had enough and teched him.
Well, that's the thing too, is I feel like the level for Fran is much higher than most people. You know, like if somebody else did that, they'd probably get teed up right away. But because it's Fran, there's almost a higher tolerance in a way for Fran and what he does.
I don't know. I'm honestly I get what you're saying, but I am surprised he didn't eject him because that could have a lot of refs would, I feel like.
All right, let's go to the biggest game of the weekend, to me, the biggest upset, and that was your Boilermakers losing again. Losing at home, how much does that hurt you? To lose at home to Indiana, the Boilermakers have now been swept by the Hoosiers, and they lost at Mackey to Indiana. Yeah. This is embarrassing for you.
Yeah, but we just hang another Big Ten banner, so. We backed into it, but we did hang a banner again. It hurts. It definitely hurts. I think you even see it with the fans that are of Purdue, where I saw on Twitter some people that were, I would say, not unhappy, but borderline like ticked, even though they just won the Big Ten due to the loss, but you got swept by your rival. That definitely hurts.
Would you rather game. Would you rather sweep Indiana and finish second in the league or lose twice but win the league to Indiana?
I mean, that's a tough question, but at the end of the day, if you get a Big Ten title ring, that means something.
Yep.
So I
agree.
I'd take that. I'd win the
league. Losing Indiana is bad.
I would hate it, but I would take it.
Right. Right. It's a tough pill to swallow. All right. So let's get to Purdue first. What is wrong with Purdue now? Like, what are you worried about?
Well, I think that there's two variables when they lose. What happens? They turn the ball over and they shoot it bad from three. And both of those things, only 10 turnovers, but they came in bunches. And Indiana turned it into 12 points off those turnovers. If they're not going to make shots when Zach Edey's getting doubled and crowded, then they are not going to be able to reach their full potential. I just think that's certainly going to be an issue. And
are they settling? Are they? Would you?
No, I think they're getting pretty good shots. Okay. I mean, you're getting them off Zach Edey.
But if you're not making them, Rob, if you're not making them and you're getting easy ones, which they were, what can you? I mean, are you going to just keep shooting them? And
I think if you believe that you have good shooters, you just keep going bombs away. And I think Fletcher Lawyer is a good shooter. I think Braden Smith's a good shooter. I think Mason Gillis is a good shooter. Just
looks hurt. I mean,
Painter's I think he looks a little bit injured, and I think he's
tired.
Teams are just so physical with him.
Right.
He needs the weight room for sure. I think he looks like a guy that's maybe hit a little bit of the freshman wall, which is understandable because it happens to most freshmen. And I mean, Miller Kopp was all over him.
Yeah, yeah. He played well defensively.
He did. And games prior, I'm trying to think who it was. Oh, Audige. Yeah. Same thing. Audige is just all over him. Those guys are being really physical with him. I think Fletcher Lawyer is going to be a great player.
So the book is out a little bit.
I think that he needs a year of the weight room. Yeah. His skill set is there.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
It's going to be great.
He might be a year away physically from what, or 2 years away, whatever. But
if they were sophomores this year, if those two guards were sophomores even, I think it would be a different Purdue team. But I do think, you know, you see it with Braden Smith even at times. He's getting rattled a little bit, right? And he gets eaten up when he drives in there.
Yep. What was his line finished as like?
6 points.
He was two for 11.
Yeah.
Did have 6 assists, 8 rebounds. I mean, he does impact the game in other ways, but 2 for 11, not great.
No. You know who was great?
Jalen Huchefino.
Holy shit.
I mean, he's going to be a lottery pick. I'm pretty convinced of that.
He's awesome.
No, he is. He's a big guard. He plays pick and roll.
Yep.
Purdue's in drop coverage with Zach Edey, and he just ate it up. And really, I don't know if they have other great options. I don't think you can. You can't hard hedge. Right. With Zach, you know, you're trying to keep it, and you're worried about Trace. And their game plan was certainly to take away Trace Jackson Davis.
Yep.
I don't think there's been a game all year where he's taken only 8 shots. And that's what Purdue limited into. Now, who really won the game for them in my mind? Trey Galloway and Miller Kopp. And Huchefino was fabulous. Like, to me, that performance, he is the Big Ten freshman of the year. I don't doubt that.
Without Galloway and Kopp,
those two guys.
Yeah.
Winning plays, big time shots. Galloway was awesome. He really played an awesome basketball game. So those two I thought were really impressive, but Huchefino made every right read. He killed it in pick and roll. He's had games like this though all year where there have been these explosions. And I was trying to think back in a Purdue Indiana game.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a freshman to have a game like this? I don't know. I mean, maybe like a Big Dog, although I think he sat his freshman year due to prop.
Right, he didn't
prop,
play.
Prop 49
didn't play
or freshman year. Yeah. Maybe Calbert Chaney. I don't know. I'd be fascinated.
Yeah, I don't know either.
What other freshmen have played at that level in that game?
I don't know, but Indiana's got a lot of momentum now. You know,
they do. But you know what? I think Mike Woodson, it's going to be really interesting to see. If Xavier Johnson comes back, how does he implement him back into this?
2 games left in the regular season, Iowa and Michigan at home, right? They probably win them both in Bloomington, you would think. But maybe, who knows? I mean,
they'll be favored. It's easy to say that.
They'll be favored by both, obviously. So my first question is, if you're Xavier Johnson, not if you're Mike Woodson, if you're Xavier Johnson first, because Xavier Johnson has to make the first decision here. Right. If the doctors do clear him, which we anticipate.
Could he redshirt? Like, is that plausible?
I was told yes, that he'd have to get a waiver. because I think he's played. I'm going to tell you how many games he's played.
He's missed. He's missed the last 18 games.
How many has he played? He's played 11, but he played 10 games and like
a little bit in the Kansas game.
Yeah. A few minutes in that 11th game. I think he's like 9 minutes over.
So the NCAA could rule on that, which
it could say no. Right. So if you're him, are you rolling the dice and not playing if you're able to? Probably not. You're probably going to play. But I'm told there's a school of thought, even within the family a little bit, of like, what do we do here? Do we try to get the waiver? Trace will be gone. Now Jalen's going to be gone. It could be X's team next year, and he'll be 100%. Where now you come back, you're not 100%. You got two games, at least one Big Ten tournament game, if you even come back for this next game.
Right.
I think you do it, though, because I think now you see, even if I can play 15 minutes and we go to a Final Four.
No, like, totally. And you think about some of the quick little guards that have eaten them up. He's the answer for that. The Boo Booies of the world, the Jameer Youngs of the world, those guys that are burners.
Yeah, you're
right. He's the guy that could guard them. But do you also want to take the ball out of the hands of Jalen Hood-Schifino, who has shown himself to be as talented as most of the freshmen in college, probably everyone that's not named Brandon Miller in college basketball?
I'm going to play him together for 10 minutes, and I'm going to
give play X off the ball.
And I'm going to give, I'm going to play X off the ball. I'm going to play X off the ball. And I'm going to play him together for 10, and then I'm going to play Jalen 32, and then X is going to get 18 minutes.
Yeah, and I'm going to say this, and I don't mean this in any way to take away from Xavier Johnson, but will he be okay with that?
I don't know.
That's the scary thing, and I don't know him. It's not a diss. That's not what I'm saying. But I think it's a guy who played a major role, and will he come back and say, "Well, I need to be playing this major role again"?
Watched Jalen Hood-Schifino,
that can be a really hard last place.
Game. Hey, Rob, if he watched Jalen play last game,
then he shouldn't want that.
I would say, it's pretty clear right now who the better player is.
Yeah, I mean,
Jalen's that good. He's that good. And if you're Mike Woodson, you want X back for this.
No, year. Totally, because he gives you something that you don't have.
100%. Even if you only get him for the last game of the regular season and one game in the Big Ten tournament, that's still enough to feel. And then he'll have practice in between, before the NCAA tournament game. You could feel good about giving him 10, 15 minutes, couldn't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Depending on how it looks.
As long as he's practicing and has been ramping up, I mean, I wouldn't, if he hasn't practiced, just throw him out there and be like, hey, we need you to get experience against Iowa. Right. As long as he's been doing what he's been, supposed to do according to the medical staff, yeah.
Hey, Rob, this season we are partnering with Run Your Pool. So you got to get in on this, all right? They're going to be hosting the official Field of 68 bracket contest. And if you win, you're going to win some money. They're giving away $1,500 in cash prizes for free. So all you got to do is sign up at the link in this description. It's play.runyourpool.com/field of 68. That's field 68. Fill out a bracket and be eligible to win. Rob worked with these guys before, which is why he was so excited to land this sponsor. Doster, not you. They have more than 50 game types for every sport you can think of, from a traditional bracket pool to survivor games, head-to-head games, pick X games, and my favorite, squares. The scoring's customizable. You can tailor your bracket rules to your pool. It's awesome. I think you and I need to have a little head-to-head competition in this
one. A pool?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And I don't know what...
We need to go back and look at our drafted teams and laugh at how terrible they are.
At the end of the year, we'll do that. That'll be our final pot of the year. We'll look back at
it. But yes, we could do a little friendly wager here.
It won't be friendly.
All right. A non-friendly
this will be embarrassing. That's what it'll be.
You always talk this big game like you're just going to kick my ass in everything, like athletically, in the pool, in the bracket.
I'm saying it could be embarrassing for me if I lose.
Well, yeah.
I'm okay. I wasn't the one scared to walk down in Bloomington, Indiana.
Some of us have to work, Jeff. I really struggle with you saying, oh, I'm working so hard as I go to Vegas for the second weekend and I sit on my couch in Charleston watching games at night. What a rough life you live.
Hey, I don't know how many games I've seen this year. I worked hard early.
You go to the best games.
Huh?
You go to the best games.
Yes.
That's not working hard. That's the privileged life.
when you paid your dues like I have, you get that, Rob.
When you were covering SYF at the 2006 Peach Jam, that was you paying your dues?
Yeah, happy to watch you. Absolutely.
What a devastating loss that was in the championship to who did we lose to? Oh, Boo Williams.
Who was it?
We lost to Boo Williams in 05, and we lost to Mean Streets, Eric Gordon, Derrick Rose in 06. So
best backcourt I've ever seen in AU.
They killed us. They 2-3'd us and murdered us.
Etuan couldn't guard those guys.
None of us could guard those guys.
Yes, you weren't expected to.
But I will say, though, the Boo Williams team we lost to in 05, that was awesome.
Is that Macklin?
That was Vernon Macklin, Duke Cruz, Eric Hayes, Grievous Vasquez, Scotty Reynolds, Chris Wright.
That's a good team. Boo was loaded then.
Maybe Patrick Patterson, too.
Really? He came off the bench?
I think so. Loaded team.
I think he was young on that team.
Should have beat him at the Peach Jam final.
So. All right, let's knock out a couple more quick Big Ten things, and then we'll call it a day. Hunter Dickinson with a crazy shot. Crazy. A three that Wisconsin, you could say, probably should have fouled them. But they were
trying to foul, Jeff.
Right. They were trying to challenge and foul, and it just
– Up the floor, Kamari McGee is trying to foul. And Greg Gard said that after the game. He didn't do a good enough job of it. They didn't call it. But you can see if you watch – him coming up the floor, he's like slapping the arm of the guard that's bringing it up.
So Hunter hits the big three, and everything changes. I mean, it went from Michigan season was over. He doesn't make that shot, they're done. They're NIT bound. And to be honest, Wisconsin kind of punches its ticket, I think, with a win like that on the road, and instead it completely flips.
Yeah, but they might have some problems here on the Chucky Hepper in front. I don't know anything, but losing him with a knee injury where he doesn't come back to the bench is certainly concerning.
True. But if they win that one.
No, you're in great. Yeah, you're putting yourself in a position for sure.
Right. That's a big win. Do you have faith either of these teams? Like, do you think Michigan can make it now? They got two tough games.
I think they've probably got to win both,
or at least one, and then do something in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, right. But at Illinois, at Indiana, I think you got to win at least one. Split. You win two, you'd be 19-12, and all of a sudden your quad one wins are in a much better place than they were 2 weeks ago. They played really well without Jet Howard, you know, and Jet, I think, has some shortcomings defensively at times. I mean, he can really score.
And the ball sticks.
And the ball does stick. Kobe Bufkin is hooping out here. I mean, he is a pro.
He has gone off lately.
No, he's been great. And it's been more than just scoring. You know, he can make plays for other people. He rebounds. He's got good size. He's a good athlete.
Yep.
Doug McDaniel he was great on Sunday.
Huge bucket. I thought
he's playing with a lot of confidence. He's not turning the ball over, and he's making shots from the perimeter. He's shooting at a pretty good clip in Big Ten play.
Yeah.
I want to say around 36% from three. So, I mean, but he gives you 20. Those three guys, they carried the load. Hunter, Kobe, and Doug McDaniel. And I'm sure it felt good for Hunter after the kind of the way it didn't go well in Madison. It's just amazing to me how he's got beefs with everybody. I was starting to prep for I'm doing the Michigan-Illinois game for radio on Thursday. And I was reading about how at Media Day in 2021, he said that Illinois fans are annoying. So it's like
I was there.
So it's like, man, you say this stuff, they're gonna go crazy and boo you when you come into the building.
But I think he.
But if you're gonna do it, you better back it up the way he backed it up yesterday, not the way he performed in Madison.
But maybe you just again that you know you're not affected, which he might not be, and like whatever, I'm gonna say whatever the hell as I've told you, I think part of the problem is not then because he wasn't doing the podcast, but I think now it's. Every podcast he goes on, they try to get him to say something about whoever the next opponent is.
Yeah,
and he's fine with it. He doesn't care. All right, the most Jekyll and Hyde team in college basketball
there's a lot of them in the Big Ten, so that's saying something.
But Illinois's got to be number one.
Yeah, they're up there. I wouldn't be surprised if they lose in the first round, and I also wouldn't be surprised if they're playing in the Elite Eight. I think it's that.
I don't know if they can get to the Elite Eight now.
There's times where I watch them and I'm looking at who's on the floor and I'm like, man, they got a lot of good players.
They do.
But I don't understand why they refuse to shoot twos. That's the biggest thing. In Big Ten play, they are last in three-point percentage. They are first in two-point percentage. Yet they shoot the third most threes of anybody in the league. And even I think they were 1-for-14 in the second half at Ohio State, a team that's gotten obliterated in the paint.
And they kept
I don't understand why they are allergic to driving the ball at times. They cannot quench the thirst that they have to shoot threes. And you've got Terrence Shannon and Matt Meyer and you know, Dane Danger. Danger has barely played the last two games. He's got 3 points.
Yeah,
he's gonna have to play Thursday. I mean, with Hunter, you can't go small against him.
Nope.
So I don't know. Illinois is interesting in the sense that if they had lost to Northwestern, which it looked like they were going to do, they would be looking at losing four of their last five. I do worry also about guys just going nuclear against them. Trace Jackson Davis has got him twice, 35 and 26. Pickett got him for 41. Jamison Battle, 31. Boo Booey, 35. There's a trend here where they're getting torched by the other team's best players. And Thornton got 20. That's like a light night for an Illinois leading scorer. You only got 20, you know? So it's, I don't know.
Here are a couple questions for you before we finish. We'll stay on Big Ten. How many Big Ten teams – does a Big Ten team make the Final Four this year?
Boy. I'm going to go with no.
Yeah, I'm kind of apt to go that way too. But I also feel like who's that good? We've talked
That's the thing. I guess in comparison – looking around, who is there's nobody that's like a 2008 Kansas or an 09 Carolina where you're like, they're getting there.
No.
They're loaded. They're getting there.
Houston, to me, again, is the team you're probably the most – I've been saying this for a few weeks now. Would you agree with me now in Houston or no? You still don't?
Yeah, but
you don't love
them. They don't like scare the hell out of me. I mean, I think their coach is great. Right. I think they have good guards. They're good. I think I'd be more inclined to say UCLA,
but then they're playing well. They're just not deep, Rob. They're just not.
No,
deep.
I know, but they have guys that have been played in the Final Four.
Yeah,
they've got a good point guard, and they've freshman got Hawkins.
Yeah, freshman big who's talented.
Plays I like Clark. Yeah,
I love Clark. No, I'm with you. If they have one more dude, if Mick had one more guy off the bench, to me, then I would feel pretty good about. And I picked him to win it all in the preseason. But I would feel better about it. I would stick with that pick where now to me, you know, I think the three that I feel the best about today are Houston, Kansas, and UCLA. Those are the three I feel best about today.
I agree.
Alabama scares me with all the other shit going on.
There's a lot of other shit going on there.
A lot of other shit. We don't have to get into that now. I know you got to run. I know you had a long, stressful, tough day of having to do a show in the morning and a serious show in the afternoon.
Yeah. Got to pay the bills because I'm not getting paid enough by Field of 68.
So you got to do other stuff.
That's why. I don't have the job security to not do other stuff.
Sometimes, you know, Doster said you tend to just go through the motions, show up and just go through. That's what he said. When did he say that? Doster looked at some of your tape
from the podcast. Oh, from this podcast? This
podcast. He thinks you're going through the motions.
Maybe he should fire me then. Tell him to fire me if I'm going through the motions. I would prefer it, actually.
All right. Well, listen, we'll figure it out next week. You and I are going to be together at the Big Ten tournament next Thursday and Friday. We got to figure out a window to do.
I'll be sure to go through the motions next week as well.
I'll tell Dustin.
That's going to be my nickname. Robbie Go Through the Motions Hummel. Please refer to me as that every show that we do.
All right. Well, we will see you next week. Thanks for joining us. Goodman and Hummel podcast. We'll see you next week. Make sure you subscribe. And if anybody does want to donate to the Hummel statue, by the way, we are taking donations. We are. We're going to try to raise some money. Since nobody would give it in West Lafayette, I feel like there's some people watching that might want to
build a little bit of a, even if it's like a mini statue, something.
No one's building shit. Shut up.
Just a mini one, like a tiny little one. We'll see you next week.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.